It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our special guest today is Allison Rivera, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We'll talk with Allison in just a moment. First off, Representative Diana DeGette is from Colorado, chairwoman of the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations.
This committee is not going to sit back and allow this system, which forces American taxpayers to pay oil companies out of both pockets, first at the pump and then through tax breaks, to continue in its current form. The Biden administration announced last week it's taking several substantial steps to help alleviate the price that Americans are being forced to pay at the pump, including by releasing up to a million barrels of oil per day from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And now it's time for Congress to do whatever it can to help alleviate the pain that too many Americans are feeling at the pump.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Allison Rivera. Allison is Executive Director, Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Allison, welcome back to the show.
Always happy to join you.
Well, this conversation comes at a somewhat interesting time. If you go west of the Mississippi, it's extremely dry. If you're back to the east of the Mississippi, it's fairly wet. But it's just highlighting how dry it is, because we see these fires popping up. And we're going to dig into that here in just a few moments. But first off, to kind of get us going in the right direction, I'm going to mention a couple of acronyms here, and maybe you can help us out. ELRP and ELAP, or ELAP. What are we talking about here?
Absolutely. So lots of acronyms out of USDA. ELAP is the Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish Program. And then the newest program that will be used to disseminate another $750 million of disaster aid for livestock producers based on droughts and wildfires from 2021 is the Emergency Livestock Relief Program.
So ELRP, ELAP, and when we talk about the funding here, I know you've touched on that, but it is talking about 2021. What do producers need to know about that?
Right. So the recently passed appropriations package, again, had $750 million for disaster aid for drought and wildfires that producers where producers lost forage in 2021. So those producers who qualified for LFP payments, throw in another acronym, the Livestock Forage Program, due to loss of forage. This $750 million is going to cover their supplemental feed costs that a lot of producers suffered due to drought and wildfire in 2021. So that bucket of money will be used to cover those added feed costs, the expensive feed costs that we saw, and to provide some further coverage for those producers.
So under ELRP, and now I'm digging in a little deeper on USDA side, because this was announced just last week, but they outline a couple of different phases here on the ELRP. How does that work, and what do we need to know about that?
They're going to continue. This is a brand new program in order to disseminate this new funding. So they are going to roll out a calculator on the website. But there is going to be some needed paperwork. You are going to have to work with your local FSA office. But again, this is based off of those producers who received payments through the Livestock Forage Program in 2021. So a lot of that information your FSA offices already have, which is good, and should hopefully allow for that $750 million to roll out a little bit faster to cover some of those costs that we know producers felt very much in their pocketbooks in the last year. So hopefully we will continue to work with USDA to make sure that money gets disseminated to people who had those major forage losses in the Midwest as well as out West.
Well, it comes as a much needed time, because we have seen these wildfires break out. Obviously the extreme drought, we're seeing culling of herds at this point. What was NCBA's role in really getting this funding secured? I imagine NCBA was probably knocking on a few doors trying to help make this happen.
Absolutely. You know, we've been talking to members of Congress about the need for specific disaster aid for livestock producers for a while. I think you're going to continue to see those conversations, particularly as we look towards the next farm bill. But there's a lot of concern to make sure that that due to these unprecedented droughts, unprecedented wildfires, unprecedented natural disasters across the U.S., that our producers are getting the support that they need so that they can continue to stay in business. Because the last thing we want is for these natural disasters that we don't know when they're going to pop up, but we want to make sure that we are prepared and that we're in a place where we can continue to keep all of our producers in business and keep running regardless of what happens with the weather.
It's important to note this is not necessarily under, at least I don't think it is, under the Farm Bill program, if you will. This is, again, as you mentioned, monies that have been appropriated to help producers. Is that a good way to assess the situation?
Absolutely. Again, there were lots of members of Congress that recognized that previously there were programs out there that didn't necessarily provide support to livestock producers specifically. So with support from members like Senator John Thune and others across the country that have recognized how bad the drought and wildfires in particular have been out west, they wanted to just make sure that as we move forward that we had some disaster assistance, particularly for the livestock producers. And USDA has certainly been having many conversations with us here at NCBA about how we can work together to make sure that that our producers have the help they need.
Okay, so I kind of open Pandora's box here. the discussion of Farm Bill. The 2018 Farm Bill has about a year left in it, and we're now starting to see hearings, especially on the House side, looking at some different angles. There's so much going on, though, right now. How do you fit this whole idea of working on a new Farm Bill? How do you work that into the schedule?
Well, I think, you know, the conversations have already begun, and if I could take one step back, one of the things that we want to continue to look at into this next Farm Bill, not only do we want to reauthorize our animal health three-legged stool, but as far as all these programs we've just been discussing in the disaster realm and the risk management realm, you know, we want to be able to make little tweaks here and there that really make these programs more easy for our producers to take advantage of or more beneficial to our members. One of the things that we were recently able to get that was announced last week as well, under ELAP, we were able to get coverage for our producers to not only, in the past year and a half, they've been able to transport feed to livestock and have those transportation costs covered, but also we were able to get a win with working with USDA to get livestock to feed covered as well. And so I just wanted to mention that big win, but that's a really good example of minor tweaks that we can do now, work with USDA to get done now. But if we can't get them done right now, then that's another, and the conduit is the Farm Bill to be able to get some of those added tweaks in the future.
And obviously there's so much going on when we talk about those Farm Bill discussions, and then we talk about the ad hoc programs. How important is it for producers, and now I'm talking about producer members, of the state organizations, how important is their role and their voice in helping determine what you take to Capitol Hill?
Absolutely. So it's so important that NCBA and our state affiliates hear what changes need to be made. DC is definitely a bubble, and we're always trying to break through that bubble and remind people the Farm Bill is a very large bill. It opens up a lot of opportunities to do some really good things for producers, but we have to know what the problems with current programs are, what the problems on the ground are from our producers who are doing the job every day, so that we know what regulatory or what, you know, legal actions we need to take up here in order to change the law to make sure that, that the current farm bill and the next farm bill and the next one and all of these programs work for producers. And so I think getting the opportunity every 5 years to take a look at the farm bill and see what's working and what doesn't is, is beneficial, but we've got to hear from members in order to make those changes.
And I hate to ask this, but there's just 60 seconds left, and I know it's probably impossible to all get it all within 60 seconds, but are there some other areas that you're kind of keeping an eye on that we haven't talked about at this point that we just need to keep in the back of our mind as we move through the rest of this year?
Well, obviously, NCBA is working on quite a few issues, implementing the recent transportation bill and making sure those dollars are getting out to the countryside for things like rural broadband, and spending the money on those roads and bridges. Specific to the farm bill, those conversations are going to start ramping up in the next 6 to 8 months. We want to protect voluntary conservation programs that our members use, and they want to make sure that we want to make sure that those programs stay viable and well funded. Again, protecting against foreign animal disease and working through this next farm bill to make sure that we have that, that safety net there that we've had the last 5 years with the FMD bank. There's so many things, Tony, I could talk about, but I hope everyone knows just how busy we are here at NCBA. It's never a dull moment, and we certainly have plenty to work on every day.
And if we want to keep up with what's happening at NCBA, can we do that online as well?
Absolutely, ncba.org, and you can always call our D.C. office. We're always here and always happy to help.
Allison Rivera is Executive Director of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C. on today's Agribusiness Report.
Market opportunities, input costs, and drought will all be discussed at the 2022 Beef Cattle Conference in Canadian, Texas, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 26th and 27th. Get your tickets now. Seating is limited for this powerful event, including special keynote speaker, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Call 806-323-9114. That's 806-323-9114 to reserve your seats today. Seating is limited.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Representative Morgan Griffith from Virginia says energy production requires a long-term commitment.
The words and deeds of the White House expose a fundamental misunderstanding of the operations of an industry it seeks to dissolve. After Russia's invasion of Ukraine, President Biden stressed the short-term need to increase oil and natural gas output and expedite liquefied natural gas, LNG, project development. The oil and gas industry does not operate well on short-term proposals, however. Due to the nature of the industry, companies like the ones before us today need long-term certainty. A temporary green light to produce oil from the Biden administration will not undo the damage and the layers of red tape and aggressive anti-fossil fuel policies driving gas prices to new highs.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer health care benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative health care solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Farming is an art and a science. Test out the greatest innovations for your crops at Livingston Machinery. The Sunflower 9413 grain drill is perfect for creating the ideal environment for emergence and growth. Whether it's no-till, minimum till, or conventional seeding, the Sunflower 9413 is easily adjusted to do it all. Experience the Sunflower quality and see why it's farmers' first choice. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is 50 years old in 2022. And Administrator Kevin Shea notes that APHIS, in several instances, must be doing its job in keeping our nation protected from all forms of plant and animal pest and disease threats, since
sometimes it's hard to prove what you do when you prevented something.
With the list of accomplishments over the past five decades that include keeping foot and mouth disease out of the U.S. for almost a century, and eradication or near eradication of threats such as cotton boll weevil and European grapevine moth. The administrator says APHIS has a myriad of additional duties in the plant and animal health sphere.
We deal with conflicts with wildlife and people, things like coyotes going after sheep. We also enforce the Animal Welfare Act, so we try to get more humane treatment for animals who are bred to be pets and for those who are used in exhibition or research.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Is it government regulation or pressure from shareholders keeping oil companies from increasing supplies of oil domestically? Well, according to Representative Diana DeGette from Colorado, chairwoman of the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, when the companies are honest, it's their push for higher profits. In a hearing on Wednesday, leaders of six major energy-producing companies testified on why there's such a disconnect between the price of oil and the price of gasoline at the pump. Ranking member of the committee, Representative Morgan Griffith from Virginia, countered, saying the majority is laying the blame for the problem at the wrong feet by providing examples of how the Biden administration attacked the industry from day one, in a push for all-electric vehicles. Now, the sudden drop in demand during the pandemic did cause oil prices to plummet, even going into negative territory. It led energy companies to cut back investment in increasing production, and this reduction in investment laid the foundation for the current market and supply challenges. Those were the words of Darren Wood, CEO of ExxonMobil. He added that no single company sets the price of oil or gasoline. The market establishes that price based upon available supply and the demand for that supply, and continued investments in new production are the only way to achieve balanced markets and more affordable prices, and the government has a critical role to play. He went on to say that policies need to provide certainty and improve predictability. Consistent, efficient, and effective policies will help spur further investment in U.S. oil and gas production. Well, land values have increased at least 10% over the past year across portions of Texas and northern Louisiana, led by irrigated cropland, but the impacts of inflation are beginning to weigh on the overall economy. That's according to the Dallas branch of the Federal Reserve. Bankers in that 11th district, responding to their first quarter survey, reported overall weaker conditions across most regions, noting that extreme drought is straining agricultural production. Now, despite an increase in commodity prices, the bigger increase in input cost is tilting the scales away from the favor of producers, and now concern about the future leading to a decrease in demand for ag loans as the loan demand index returns to negative territory after posting its first positive reading in 7 years last quarter. Loan volume decreased for feeder cattle loans, dairy loans, crop storage loans, all compared with 1 year ago. Cropland and ranchland values increasing again at least 10% year over year, with some segments seeing much higher increases. Well, finally, one consistent theme for farmers across the nation is that higher crop prices will not offset the dramatic increase in farm production costs this year. Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer for March says producers continue to expect their farms' financial performance to decline this year compared to last. March Farm Financial Performance Index, which asked producers whether they expect their farm's financial performance in the year to be better than, worse than, or about the same as the year before, was up slightly, but still remains 30 percentage points lower than 1 year earlier. It's the Agribusiness Report.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton, bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.